Welcome to the Business English Podcast. I'm your host, Rob, and today I not only have an intriguing topic to discuss with you all, but I also will be joined by a very special guest. As most of you are already very much aware of the topic of today's episode, I can say that dealing with awkward, tricky, sticky, or difficult questions are in fact par for course when it comes to communicating not only on the international business stage, but also across cultures and definitely in everyday life. But just because they are effectively commonplace in most of our lives, this does not make them any less painful. So we, especially professionals, need a hardy toolkit to fend off strange and intrusive questions that we have no intention of answering. A daunting task. And so it is for that reason I'll be chatting through this contentious topic with my epic guest today. If you are an avid listener of English language podcasts, you will no doubt know this veteran gladiator of the English audio realm, a content creator and podcast producer with hundreds and hundreds of episodes under his belt. I am, of course, talking about Martin from the Rock and Roll English Podcast. Martin is a podcaster and English teacher who specializes in helping students understand fast-spoken jungle English. He has an alternative approach to teaching English and uses entertaining stories to deliver both his podcasts and online courses. So, with the stage set and my expert guest waiting in the wings, let's saddle up and get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Business English Podcast, helping professionals communicate more effectively, more confidently, and with impact. With your host, Rob, from Energetic English. Let's get down to business. Welcome to the Business English Podcast. Today, I have Martin from Rock and Roll English Podcast on the show with me. And welcome to the show, Martin. It's great for you to be here.
Thanks for having me, Rob. Very excited to be here. I don't think I've ever been on a Business English Podcast. I feel quite privileged.
Oh, it's actually just the same as every other podcaster, I think.
Okay, sounds good. I was thinking I could bring in all of my experience from the business world here.
Wonderful. Yes. Well, that's what we'd like you to do. Yeah. Tell the listeners all about, you know, your business experiences and things. Today, we've got quite an interesting subject to discuss about phrases for dodgy, sticky, or difficult questions. So just to begin, I just want to set some context for the listeners. What would you say is a difficult or a sticky or a dodgy question for us Brits, you know, in the UK? What's a bit of a squeaky question?
I think one which a few times people did ask me this in Italy, which I found strange from my time living in Italy, connected to money. If you ask someone how much money they earn, I don't know if it's the same in all cultures, but in the UK, it's very much a taboo thing, which I must admit, a part of me does think why, because it's just part of life. I remember talking to someone once who said this. She said to me, you know, it's okay to talk about money. And I was kind of like, what? But yeah, if someone were to ask that, that is definitely a difficult question to face.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. For me, it seems that the majority of at least my friends, family, colleagues, acquaintances, even at the relationship level where you're friends, you spend most of the time together, you go down the pub drinking, you still wouldn't broach the subject of money too intensively. You know, maybe you could give them a ballpark figure, tell them to the nearest 10 or 5,000 pounds, for example. But I'm not, even then it feels uncomfortable talking about that. What are your thoughts on that?
100%. Mine would be even more than that. So even my close friends who I've been friends with since we were 5 years old, so more than 30 years now, even with them, we wouldn't even, not even ballpark figures.
Really?
It just doesn't get mentioned at all. Even my own brother, I have absolutely no idea how much money he earns. I would never dream of asking my own brother how much money he earns, which, it's a very strange thing, really, when you think about it. With my friends, actually, I noticed after we all first got jobs, like when we left university, it was okay for like the first year or two.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, it's... But a part of me doesn't want to know some of my friends that have got jobs like work in finance in London. It would make me sick.
That's it, I just don't want to know the answer to the question, which is why I'm not going to talk about it. I like that. What about talking about money that people used to receive as a salary? You know, when we're not talking about the here and the now, maybe when you're 18 or 21, is it still a taboo subject to talk about? Is it an awkward question if you were to say, oh, you know, when I was 18, I was earning £12 an hour delivering newspapers over 500 miles.
£12 an hour? I was earning £3.40 an hour.
Yeah.
A supermarket.
It's a bad example. It wasn't true.
I was, 16, from the age of 16 to 18, I worked at a supermarket and I earned £3.40 an hour. And I remember some of my friends, because at that point we did talk about how much money we earned. Some of my friends were earning £4 an hour. And I remember thinking, oh God, they have hit the big time.
Hit the money. Can't believe it. That's a brilliant.
To answer your question, no. So at that age,
yes.
No, but even if someone, one of my friends, we said, for example, how much money were you earning when you were 30?
Yes.
I mean, because we're knocking on the door of 40 now, me and my group of friends.
Right.
That would still be too close. That would still be too close. Yeah.
Okay. So definitely we can see that amongst our closest friends and family, it's still a difficult or sticky question. So for a stranger, like in an interview maybe, or, you know, at the coffee table, coffee shop, somebody come up to you and say, would you mind me asking, you know, what's the salary of this job, or how much are you getting paid to do this or fulfill this contract? This is definitely outside what's comfortable.
Definitely, 100%.
How would you respond to it? Have you got any ideas how you would politely say, we're not going to have that conversation?
Yeah, I suppose always try to use humor as a defense mechanism.
Yes.
So if they asked me, how much money do you earn, or something along those lines?
Yeah.
To be honest, even if I were a millionaire, which I'm obviously not, I would probably still respond, not enough. I would say not enough. That would be it.
Brilliant.
To sort of make a joke about how poor I am. I mean, I do make this joke now, but it is partly true. So even if I were rich, because what you don't want is someone to respond, for example, if someone asked, how much money do you earn? And you say, I'm rich, I've got loads of money.
Yeah.
Like in Britain, that's just not what we do. We'd much go for the self-deprecating vibe, don't we?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the how are you, even if like you're feeling fantastic, it's the best period of your life.
Yes.
Probably would be like, not too bad.
Brilliant.
I
have this all the time with a lot of our clients. We say about the British response is, even if you're having, like you said, the best period of your life, it's not too bad, can't complain, could be worse. You know, very British responses.
Perfect. Exactly. Yeah. So that would be my response. So if they said, how much money do you earn? I would just say, not enough.
Not enough.
And then hope that they wouldn't probe and go further.
Yes.
I wouldn't expect them to. I would hope that they would understand from that I'm not really willing to disclose that information.
Yeah. The not enough, that is a really good response, I think. You know, the key takeaway there from a learning point, if you take nothing away from this episode, it is the phrase not enough. If you say this, then it's humorous. You're saying, okay, we're not going to talk about this subject, and you shouldn't invite further. That's not an invitation to say, well, how much is not enough? You know, When you're in these situations, then not just the money, is there anything else that would be a little bit of a difficult question to answer? Is there another sticky question, dodgy question that you wouldn't like to be asked by a complete stranger?
You certainly wouldn't want anything about your personal life and relationships, I would imagine. That wouldn't be a nice question to answer, especially if it were a complete stranger.
I think the private life, what you said there, you know, this private life, somebody to say, oh, so I guess context is important, but somebody asking, have you got kids? Are you married? This is something that you potentially don't want to put out there, or where do you live, you know, things like that, things of a personal nature.
The where do you live one, I suppose I would be all right with, and I suppose it wouldn't really bother me if someone said, well, actually no, that's a lie, if someone just said, for example, are you married, I would think, like, why is this person? But like you said, context is important. If it was someone that I was meeting for the first time, we're having a chat and it's going well and we're getting to know each other, then it would be quite a normal question, I suppose. But I must admit, I would never ask that, though. Just because I don't know anything about that person. So I would never, I always wait for that information to be revealed. I would never, like, directly, have you got kids? I always remember when it was quite a funny thing. When we were at school, we were like 16, 17, but one of our friends looked like he was 40. And he told us a story. He was working in a shop, like we all were at the time. I think he might have been on £4 an hour.
£4 an hour.
Yeah. So he was raking it in, as we say. Yeah. And then he said there was a woman in there and had like two young children that were running around causing problems. And then the woman looked at him and said, are your children like this? And he then responded, like, I'm only 16. I haven't got any children.
Oh, wow.
But I just thought, even at the time, that's such, like, even if he were 40, it doesn't mean he's got children. Like, that's such an outrageous question to ask.
That's true.
You can't just think, oh, he's 40, he must have children. That is just crazy.
Yeah, that would be, I don't know how I would take that if somebody said, oh, you know, what are your grandkids like? You're thinking, well, actually, that would be an awkward question. Yeah. I mean, the finance thing that we were talking about earlier is an interesting line to take here, because not only is it about, you know, how much you're getting paid, but now I'm thinking, if you've purchased something, that the purchase price could fall within a range. So you've got a new car or a car, and some stranger or somebody walks up to you and asks about, can I ask how much you paid for the car? How much did you pay for that? I think there's a strategic sort of answer here, because you don't want to disclose how much you paid, because you're then showing, you know, the buying power or earning potential, etc. So what do you think about that? You know, when somebody asks you about how much you've paid for something.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because again, that happened to me in Italy. My wife and I bought an apartment, and it was in like a bit of a small village, and it was, I don't know, very early on, I would say first couple of months.
Yes.
Obviously, everyone kind of knew each other in the village, and we were new. And then someone stopped my wife and said, oh, so like, have you just bought this place? And she said, yeah. And then he said, how much did you pay for it?
Brilliant. Yeah.
And she actually told him, but then she, because I wasn't even there, she got in the car and I said, why did you tell him? And she said, well, I didn't really know what to say. I was a bit taken aback.
Yes.
But yeah, if that had been me, I again would have probably tried to use humor and say something like, oh, too much, we got ripped off, something
too
like
much.
That.
Yes. Yes.
More than it's worth, something like that. To always make me look stupid and bad, that would be my tactic.
Yeah, absolutely. So instead of this time, not enough, but actually this time we paid over the odds for something. I paid through the nose, expression there. Paid through the nose. And so it's an interesting line that we're taking here about the humor within awkward questions. And maybe for when we're in those situations, even, you know, business or professional situations, that if you're in a networking situation where you're building a relationship with an individual, you could default to this humor because you don't want to come across as hard necessarily and say, oh, I've got no personality and we're just not going to talk about it. Because I think that raises the tension in the room, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, this is the thing about business as well. I always think when people think, oh, it's business, but you're still talking to humans. It doesn't mean that business people are humans. It doesn't mean they're like robots that don't enjoy humor and things like this. People always think, oh, but is that formal? Yeah, of course, you, especially in writing, you want to be formal in like maybe an email. But if you're talking to someone, like this, there's nothing wrong with a bit of humor, especially to get out of a difficult situation.
100%. Yeah. The other one you said about, yeah, I would pay too much for the house. I was like, well, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. Again, this is one of those humorous responses that you can depend on in those situations. You're not being too serious.
Although I must admit, that specific response, I would feel much more, I don't know why, confident delivering that in English than I would in Italian. In Italian, I would be worried because it's happened to me a couple of times over the years where I've said something which I think in English that would be okay.
Yeah.
Once in particular with a swear word, which I thought wasn't that bad in English, and I used the equivalent of in Italian, and everyone was quite shocked.
Yeah.
And it was... So, yeah, it is much more difficult to do in a foreign language, definitely.
Humor not translating too well. Yeah.
Well, in fact, that's a specific thing, I think, because certainly swear words don't translate very well. So, ignore the swear words, because I think unless you're from that place, it's very difficult to know how like serious or like how bad that swear word is, because you're... Yeah. Just if you're from a place, some words just have a much stronger meaning than maybe you think or that you know of. So definitely avoid them.
Yeah. Yes. And I think this comes up a lot, both of us in the English education space. From this side of the pond, this side of the Atlantic, our dear American cousins, they will use different words for things, probably beyond the scope of this podcast to talk about them. But there are definitely different words that they use for things that sound very strange to us and we really wouldn't say. I mean, I guess a sort of PG example here would be pants. You've got the wrong pants on. Somebody said that to you, Martin, you've got the wrong pants on. I think it means something quite different, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would be thinking, how do you know what pants I'm wearing? Because for us, pants obviously being underwear.
So I think the vocabulary usage or choice is very important. Who are you speaking to? Who's in the room? Read the room and then select your vocabulary appropriately.
Absolutely.
Good. Well, thanks ever so much for joining me on the podcast today. Really appreciate your insights into sticky, tricky, and difficult questions. A few taboo subjects in there. I'd love to do this again sometime, but it's been a pleasure having you on.
Thanks very much, Rob. A pleasure being here.
Thank you, sir. We'll see you next time. Cheers.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Well, that was an awesome chat there I had with Martin from the Rock and Roll English Podcast. Be sure to go and check out all his other great material and his excellent course library at rockandrollenglish.com. I'll also drop a link into the show notes, so be sure to go and check it out. So now let's take a quick look at some other alternative phrases we can use when handling difficult questions. Now, I've broken these down into three areas which I think are appropriate to mention. They are categorized as formal, for formal situations. I think this one is fairly self-explanatory. Casual, soft, for those awkward encounters that just need a little redirection. And casual, hard. These are for instances when you need a hard diversion and display that you are truly veering into areas where you cannot or do not wish to answer. There are two phrases for each section. So let's start with formal. Formal. That's a bit outside of my area of expertise, but I'd be happy to connect you with someone who could address that better. That's a bit outside of my area of expertise, but I'd be happy to connect you with someone who could address that better.
While I can't disclose specifics about sensitive topic, I can say that while I can't disclose specifics about sensitive topic, I can say that casual soft. I'm not sure I'm the best person to answer that. I'm not sure I'm the best person to answer that. Honestly, I'm still figuring that out myself. Honestly, I'm still figuring that out myself. Casual hard. Why do you ask? Why do you ask? That's a bit of a random question. That's a bit of a random question. Right, that brings us to the end of today's episode on answering awkward questions in English. Be sure to drill the phrases and internalise them for when you need them most. Until next time, stay curious, stay hungry, and of course, keep it strictly business.
You have been listening to the Business English Podcast. Remember to subscribe, leave a review, and we'll see you next time.